This morning's scripture reading comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. I'll give you a minute to turn. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him.
No one in that crowd of 20,000 plus in Las Vegas last Sunday night expected what happened. No one at Eastman this past Wednesday morning expected an explosion. Thankfully, that did not seriously injure anyone. No one in Mexico 3 weeks ago or so expected that earthquake. Are you getting a pattern here? Life is full of unexpected events, some of them tragic, some of them our last moment. And that's why we ought to look at this opportunity, every opportunity, as a gift from God. Especially if we know we're not ready to meet Him. We're still living for ourselves. We're not really looking to Christ as our Lord. This is a gift from God. And I hope we'll all look at it that way, and especially those who are not right in one way or another. Don't let this opportunity go by, because who knows what is going to happen this week. Let's thank God for what we have, for this opportunity to come before Him, to sing His praise, to lift up His name, and to let Him teach us. We're so glad you're with us today. We have a good number. We got a lot of people out due to fall breaks and that kind of thing going on, but we've got people with us today that we don't often get to see, like Todd and Melanie Gay and their two children. If you didn't know the Gays, Todd was a five-year player with ETSU's football team back in the day. That's where we'll leave it, back in the day. And what a great influence he was on the church here at Central those years that he was with us. He was very involved, very active, and we're just so thankful they've come back to visit us again. They're in Augusta, Georgia, and glad to see them. We've got the Ellis family, Robbie and Jana and their five daughters. What a great honor for them to come visit with us. He's the preacher for the Elizabethan Church of Christ, but when they have a vacation, they like to come over here, and so it's always good to see them and to have them with us as well. And did you notice Roger Witherspoon serving at the table today, who was in the hospital, 2 weeks ago, getting a heart stent put in place, and here he is today doing well. And boy, we could go on and on. We've got lots of reasons to praise God because of people that are here, because you're here. And oh, by the way, our newest sister in Christ, Jade Vance. Jade, would you stand back there for just a moment so everybody can see who you are? She was baptized into Christ last week, and what a wonderful, wonderful decision she made. And we just praise God for that. Jade, thank you for encouraging us, even as you tended to your own needs. I hope you'll continue to use this day for the Lord, because it is the Lord's day. Lord willing, this evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to meet again, and we're going to take you behind prison bars. Not literally, but we are going to have a presentation on the work that is being done at the prisons in Mountain City and Rome Mountain. And as you may remember, Central assumed the oversight of this work a year or more ago, and we want to let you know some of the great victories that we are seeing up there and several of the people that are involved. So really want you to come back and join us at 6 o'clock this evening. Tomorrow night, Monday night for the Master, we'll get back on track with that. Really want you to come and join us in that work. And let's all find ways that we can serve the Lord and make this world a better place. Now get your Bible out. And let's turn to John chapter 1. We'll be there in just a moment. And let's learn things that will really be a great blessing to our lives because God has given us this book. When you meet somebody for the first time, almost always they're going to say, well, this is so-and-so, and they give you the name of the person that you are meeting. But that doesn't always help us very much, does it? I mean, just the name, okay, so you're so-and-so, what is that? Well, what if they then go on to say, well, this is going to be your new doctor, or this is going to be your coach, or this will be somebody that will assist you in your job at work, and they are especially trained in this area that you've needed help with. Well, now we're talking, because that tells us we need to know this person. We need to really find out what we can benefit from with them, and that's what we find with Jesus in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 is an introduction of Jesus as John gets ready to tell us his gospel account of Jesus. He doesn't begin by saying, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Instead, he tells us the Word. And that puzzles us for a few verses, and then it becomes very clear. But I want you to notice in the four lessons that we're going to have the remainder of this month, John gives us labels. Labels that tell us who Jesus is and what his criteria are, what he can do for us. And if you're like me, you're going to see that and you're going to say, my goodness, I don't think you could say that about any person, any mortal, this Jesus. I want to know more about him. I need that in my life. And so today we're going to begin by noticing that Jesus is the light of men. That's what John tells us in John chapter 1. He is the light of men. And when he says men there, understand it is the generic word in the Greek, which could well be translated men and women or people. Jesus is the light of people. So what do we mean by that? Well, there are two things that stand out to me as I get into this lesson. The first is that this label, the light of men, tells us who Jesus really is. It tells us who he really is. And that's what we've got to get clear in our minds. A lot of people have been mistaken about Jesus. They think, well, I know who he is. He was a great teacher. Well, yeah, that's true, but so much more than that. Or others will say, well, he was a miracle worker. Well, yeah, but there were other people that did miracles by the power of God. Who is Jesus? Well, he's the light of men. I've met a lot of people in my time that I would say they were enlightened. And the photo that will come up, I didn't meet him. I want you to know that. But that's somebody that we would immediately say, well, he was enlightened. He had special abilities. He really understood things that most people don't. We would call them enlightened. But have we ever called anybody the light? You see, enlightened means that light has shined upon me or my path or my understanding. But have we ever said of anybody that they are the light, the source of all that knowledge that we need to understand? Well, that's what John is saying about Jesus. And you might say, wow, that's pretty bold to say something like that. Well, let's get into it. John chapter 1. Let's look together. John chapter 1. Verse 4 is where this label first appears. John 1 and verse 4. In him, and mind you, we're still thinking about the Word. We don't yet know until we get down about verse 14 who John is talking about. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And again, that could be light of people generally. So it's telling us that in this life, in this person, there was life. And we could all say right now, couldn't we? Well, I've got life in me. Maybe not a whole lot of it this early in the morning or on a Sunday. But we've all got life. That's why we're here gathered and studying. But this is more than that, as we'll see. We will see that it's much more than just having functioning organs in our body and alertness, awareness, brain functioning. It's a whole lot more than that. And that life was the light of men. And that's a claim that says we can see because of him. He is the light of men. Go down to verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that's understandable, isn't it? I mean, that's usually the way light operates. Light is something that we don't really notice so much until it gets dark. And then, when it is dark, we notice that one candle, that one match that somebody has lit, whatever it may be, we notice it. And darkness, we could say, is the absence of light. And so this light came into the world, John says. The darkness, and he's using that as a metaphor for evil, wickedness, sin, it has not overcome this light. And then jump down to verse 9 and notice something else he says about this light, this life that we're talking about. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This is the entrance of that light, like the sun that rose this morning, and now light has gone all over the sky, and our whole world has been enlightened by the sun rising this morning. Well, that's what he's saying about Jesus. He's coming into the world, and this is the true light. And probably we could substitute the word ultimate there. Ultimate light, I mean, we've got candlelight, we've got flashlights, we got, you know, the lights above us here in this auditorium. He's the true light, the ultimate light, the light that really shines on life in its fullest. So John is saying clearly, yes, Jesus is the light of men. Now, let's look at some other statements he makes that supports this claim of Jesus being the light. Let's go back now to verses 1 and 2. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and now we're getting some really big claims. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that immediately says, wow, this is no mere mortal that we're talking about. I mean, you could say about people, well, they were way back in time, but John goes back before that. He says, in the beginning, when everything had its beginning, everything material, that is, there was the Word already. And the Word was with God, the Word was God. And in verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. And so again, you see, that tells us something amazing about Jesus, as we will see later in the chapter. This is really amazing. In verse 3, he said, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Word, instrumental in creating all things. And that's a claim that you find in other places in the New Testament, that Jesus is the creator. He is the one that made all things. And so again, we have to stop and say, wow, this is not some average Joe. This is somebody that's really amazing. Now go down to verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And now we're beginning to see, if we haven't seen it already, he's talking about Jesus. Because Jesus came from heaven, he put on a body of flesh, and he lived among us, and in him we saw grace and truth. That's the Word that we're talking about. That's the incarnation of Jesus Christ. That is, Jesus, God in the flesh. John is telling us some amazing things. But one thing keeps coming to our mind. I mean, John, are you suggesting that Jesus is God? I mean, it kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? Are you saying that? I mean, look again at John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And did John happen to notice how closely he was following the first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1 and verse 1? in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I think John was well aware of what he was saying. And I think John is definitely saying, yes, Jesus is God. And that's why he can be the light. That's why he is the true light. He's the one that created everything that is. And if anybody understands people and what their needs are, it would be him. He is the light of men. In fact, if you go to John chapter 8, John chapter 8, we're going to step outside of John 1 now and look at some other passages. But first of all, look at John chapter 8 and verse 24. Here's Jesus himself. And you might say, well, did Jesus know what John was saying about him? I mean, John's saying that Jesus is God. Did Jesus know that? Yes. Look at this verse. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And Jesus there is saying something more than appears to us in the English, I'm convinced. Because in the Greek, that word he, I am he, the word he does not appear. And so what Jesus is saying is, unless you believe that I am, and that's more than just saying I exist, all of us could say that. That takes us back into Exodus, where God revealed himself to Moses and said, I am, that is my name, I am. And Jesus here is saying, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. You're saying that you have power over sins and that you have the ability to release people from their sins, forgive them. And that's exactly what he's saying. And that is a power only given to God or only held by God. And so Jesus definitely is saying there. And then notice what he says back in verse 12 of that same chapter, John chapter 8 and verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's not talking about a flashlight, not talking about a torch. He's talking about the light of life. If you want to know how to live in the best way, in the way that God intended for us to live, you've got to know Jesus, because he is the light of men. And so the idea is very clear here in John chapter 1. John is trying to tell us who Jesus really is. He's not just a great prophet. He was a prophet, of course, but he's so much more than that. He's not just a great teacher. He was a great teacher, but so much more than that. And on, he is the light of men. On a number of occasions, I've met people that did not immediately impress me. I mean, I was glad to meet them, and I thought, well, you know, I kind of know what this person is about. But then, as time went on, I learned things about them that maybe they were too modest to tell me, or I saw in them traits that were just amazing, and I said, wow. But you know, we don't have to wait with Jesus. From the moment we meet him, especially in the Gospel of John, he is impressive. And you can't say about Jesus what we said earlier. You can't say that Jesus is enlightened. No, he's the light. He is the one who enlightens others. He is the light. And that's the idea that John is really trying to get us to understand as we get into John chapter 1. Now, let me take you to the second idea that I see implied in this label of the light of men, and that is the light of men tells us of our need for Christ. It tells us of our need for Jesus Christ. We've seen who he is, really. Now let's look at ourselves. Do we need somebody like that? Let me begin with this incident in Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 and verse 29. We're reading in this particular passage about Paul being taken to Rome, and now he is on board a ship along with a lot of other prisoners that are going to Rome to be tried, and they encounter one of the worst storms anybody has ever seen or heard about. And for days, they do not see the sun, they don't see the stars, they don't really know where they're at, in essence. And listen to what it says in Acts 27 and verse 29. They're getting close to something. They know that because they're taking soundings and the rocks below are getting shallower. They're getting closer to the shore. And so it says this, fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. Why are they doing that? Why are they praying for day to come? Because there's no light. They can't see where they're at. They don't know where the reef is, the rocks that could easily destroy their ship, and in fact does destroy their ship. But they're longing for day so that they can have light. They're in danger. They need light. And that, I think, shows us why we need Jesus in a very metaphorical way, of course. But we're in the same boat. Didn't really intend that for a pun, but we are in the same boat because we are sailing a very dangerous sea in life. And where are we? Are we close to a place where we might wreck? We're dark. We're in darkness without Jesus. Do we need that spiritual light? Well, again, John told us in John 1 and verse 4, he is the light of men. But do we need that? That's the question. Do we really need Jesus in our lives? Let's go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9 and look at verse 5. Again, Jesus is establishing this claim, I am the light. He says it again right here in John chapter 9 and verse 5. And remember the background to this. As the chapter opened, John tells us that they have come upon a man who is blind. Obviously is sitting there begging, and he can't see. And so the disciples say, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he is blind, that he was born that way? And in the midst of their discussion, Jesus said in John 9 and verse 5, I am the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And if you can imagine how that blind man must have been, could not see. He lived in a world of darkness, you might say. He depended on others to get him to where he needed to go. He could not guide himself. And Jesus in that setting said, I am your eyes. I will show you the way. I am the light of the world. Yes, we need Jesus. John 11, look at another incident there. John chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. The disciples have just told Jesus, Lord, you don't want to go back to Jerusalem because there are organized efforts to capture you and to kill you. You don't want to go there. And Jesus, by saying this, explains why some people wanted to kill him. John 11, verses 9 and 10, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. And those people that were out to kill Jesus, they had stumbled. They had made a terrible error in judgment. They were in the dark. And that's what's going to happen to you and me if we try to live without Jesus Christ in our lives. Oh, I've got the ability. I'm well educated. I know what decisions to make and I know who to avoid, and on we go. But do we really? Jesus is the light of men. He gives us the guidance. He shows us the way. He shows us how to avoid the dangers that we would not otherwise see. And so again, yes, we need Jesus, the light. And go to John 12. John 12, verses 35 and 36. And again, listen to what Jesus says about your need for light, my need for light. He says in John 12, beginning in verse 35, so Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Did you get what he said there? The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. And again, your pride is probably saying, if you're not a Christian, well, I don't need that. I know where I'm going. Oh, but Jesus shines light on areas of life you've never heard about without him. You need his light. And when you have the light of Jesus in your life, you know where you're going because he's guiding us. He is our shepherd. He shows us the way. And so this image of light, clearly associated with Jesus, helps us to understand why we need Jesus. Because without light, we're going to stumble, we're going to get lost, we're not going to live life the way it should be lived. And of course, that means we have a desperate need to be close to Jesus. Go to Ephesians now, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Listen to the imagery that Paul uses there, again, to show how much we need Jesus in our lives and what he can do for us. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. And remember, the people in Ephesus were Gentiles for the most part, which meant at one time they didn't know much about God, only what they heard through the Jews perhaps. But now he says this, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And then get this, walk as children of the light. Don't overlook that part. It's good to say, yes, I need Jesus in my life, and I want to be one of Jesus' followers. Well, that means follow him. Live for him. Walk in the light. You don't choose your own path. You don't get to say, well, Lord, I don't like that part of your lifestyle. I'm going to leave that out, and I'll do this, that I'm comfortable with that. No. If you want the light, you've got to follow the light wherever it leads. Otherwise, we're not walking in the light. And why would we make such a choice? Why would we say, Lord, I don't want your light on this or on that. I'll choose what light I want. Well, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 4 through 6, and you probably know this, but understand why we sometimes choose to blind ourselves to the light of God's will. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So if there are areas in your life where you're saying, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't like that part of Christianity. I don't particularly care for that teaching in the Bible. The source of that is somebody who doesn't want you to see the light. We have to resist that and open our eyes, take off the blindfolds so that we can see the light very clearly. There's a song that we have sung in the past. It's not in our present hymnal. I don't think we've sung it for a long time. It says, lead, kindly light, amid the encircling gloom. Lead thou me on. The night is dark and I am far from home. Lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step enough for me. We need the light that Jesus gives. Without it, we're hopeless. Maybe you read earlier in the year, and the newspapers carried the story, I'm sure the TV stations did as well, a community in our area, which I'll not name, voted, we are not going to continue putting fluoride in our water supply. Later, they changed that and they said, okay, we're going to put it in our water supply. And the reason for that is, you know, all the dentists and people that know something about teeth said that is a great thing to have in the water supply. Keep it in there. And yet there are other communities that are doing the same thing. Sometimes for the sake of price, the cost of it. Sometimes because of uninformed judgments. But I've never heard of a city, have you, where they vote to take down all the streetlights? Have you ever heard of a city like that? Now, you may say, well, there's too much light, and that's maybe a good point you can argue, but have you ever heard of a city that says, get rid of all the lights at night, we prefer dark? No, we like a little bit of light. We like to be able to see those that might do harm to us and so give us a chance to take action. No, we want that light. And that's the way we are as Christians. We want that light. And yet again, listen to what John says, this time in his epistle, his first epistle, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And if you like light, you got to follow through. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, can you imagine anybody doing such a thing? Oh, I'm a Christian, yes, I'm a follower of the light of men, but there's some dark things I like to keep in my life. Do you know anybody like that? Maybe all of us. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I need light in my life. You need light in your life. And we want that life, light in our lives. Well, then that means we got to walk in it. We've got to follow it, not just some of the time, but all of the time. Let's get to know Jesus better than ever before. And part of that comes from living his lifestyle. If you're not a follower of Christ, then take advantage of this opportunity this morning. You've heard enough of the gospel to decide, do you believe in Jesus as God's Son? And if you can say, yes, I do. I do believe that Jesus is God's Son. Then today, why not act upon that faith by repenting of your sins, turning away from them, confessing them before this group this morning, and allowing someone to lower you into the grave of water where you will meet Jesus, Paul says in Romans 6. And there in the grave with Jesus, God will raise you just like he raised his son, and you will be free of all sin, and you will have new life like you've never had it before. You could do that before we leave the building this morning. And if you've done that, have you been faithful? Have you been walking in the light? You know the answer to that. God knows the answer to that. And if you need to repent, get back on the path, you need to come and pray for forgiveness. We're here to help. Come while we stand and sing.